Thank you, Titus. Appreciate it. Hello, folks. How are we doing? All good? All good. Good stuff. Good beach. Great, even. Ed from... Great. My name's Jude, for those of you who don't know me. Lovely to see you. Add my welcome to that. Ed from earlier. I'm really excited about the next few weeks. We are talking about our shared sense of vision for 2020, for the year ahead. What God's calling us to together as a church family. There's a sense, isn't there, in which God's doing particular things for each one of us, things that we know God's got for us in the year ahead, but there's some stuff which we can do together as a church family. And so we're giving aside the next 3 weeks, really, to think about what that looks like for us, how we can respond to that, and also how we can financially give to the vision that God is leading us into. It's an exciting time, exciting how God's going to be speaking to us as we work together to advance God's kingdom in this city. It's really cool. And today, sort of starting off the series, next week we're going to look at all sorts of detail about different ministries and things that are starting this year, new things that are happening, how we consolidate what happened last year, and we bring that together. So lots of detail coming next week. Starting today, I'd love to sort of just sort of root us really in this call to sort of to make disciples, and very particularly the call to hand on the baton. To hand on the baton. That's what we're thinking about particularly today. Now, when I was in school, I used to be a sprinter. I used to run the 100 meters. That was my best race when I was 12, 13, 14, something like that. And actually, when I was 12 years old, I think, I ran for Bedfordshire. It's not bad, isn't it? I know. Can I have a little bit more of that? Yeah, right. Ran for Bedfordshire once. They didn't invite me back, but I ran for Bedfordshire. It was one of my sporting moments. I didn't win, but it was great. I ran for Bedfordshire, and my favourite race, probably, or certainly a race I loved doing that I did lots at school, was the 4x100 metres relay. Anybody else run the 4x100 metre relay? Yes, Matt ran the 4. In fact, you were quite quick, weren't you, as well? You were. I've heard the stories on this. Glenn, you were at 4x100? No? It's not your gig? Yes. Charlie was a 4x100. Great race, wasn't it? Great race. Now, we're going to think about the 4x100 because it's going to help us think a little bit about passing on the baton. So could I have a volunteer? Anyone fancy volunteering, helping me think a little bit? Millie's thinking about it. Anybody fancy helping me act out the 4x100? Gabby! Oh, Gabs, that's so nice of you. Come on out, Gabby. Love that, Gabby. Awesome stuff. Great, Gabby. Now, Gabby, I'm going to give you the baton. Now, the way it works, come with me to the back. So keep your eyes on what's going on here. So Gabby's got the baton. Now, you might not know this, but in the 4x100 meter relay, you have to hand on the baton, but there's actually a box that you mark out on the... Do you know this?
Yeah.
You mark out on a track. Right, so let's imagine that the box starts here, and then the box runs all the way to the front here. And the point is, you've got to hand the baton on in the box. If you don't hand the baton on in the box, the baton doesn't get passed. You get disqualified. You can't win the race. So the baton's got to be handed over in the box. But you don't just stand in the box and wait for the person. You know what happens now, don't you? So I'm going to start running before I get the baton. So I take the baton at pace, and we keep the fast movement of the baton around the track and hopefully win the race. So, in fact, Gabby, if you go over to the door, we're going to act this out now. So the point is, and normally what you do is great, it's all coming back to me now. You mark out little marks on the track so when Gabby gets to this mark here, I'm going to start running. And I'm going to start running as fast as I can. But Gabby, because Gabby's going full pelt, she's going to catch me up. And just as I hit top speed, we're going to exchange the baton and go all before we get to the edge of the box. It's fantastic. So we're going to have a go. So you come. Just go.
Come on, Gab.
You've got a hand on the baton. You can't keep hold of the baton, Gabby. You've got to hand the baton on. Let's have another go. We can do this. Guys, you gotta hand the baton on, okay? Come on, let's get this going. Come on, guys. Can we just have some cheers for Gabby? Let's get her going now. Come on. We're gonna do that. Oh, one other thing. Remember, Mike, it's your right hand, my left hand. Okay, we're going to do this. Ready? Go. Yes! Woo! Yes, Gavin, genius. Love that. Come on, handing on the baton. Woo! We do not keep hold of the baton. Is the pillar still okay? What actually happened there? Something got broken. Woo! We have to passing the baton on is not always easy. But we are called to pass on the baton. It's all going to make sense in a minute. The 4x100. Let's jump back to our text. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Do have a little glance. Remind ourselves of this text. I think it's a great text. It's a text, actually, that I come back to from time to time because it's one of these foundational texts that just remind us about the movement of the Christian life. Paul writes, "The things you've heard me say," he's writing to Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, "the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Now, it may not be obvious in first glance, but this text is very much like the 4x100 meters relay. Who is leg one? Who is running the first leg in the race? Blank looks. Paul, right. Paul starts the race. Paul starts the race, and he hands on the baton. What does he say? "The things you heard me say." He hands the baton on to, who's running the second leg? Timothy. He's writing to Timothy. "The things, Timothy, you've heard me say, I'm handing on to you. In the presence of many witnesses, you've heard me say." Who's running the third leg? Reliable people. Entrust to, different translations, reliable people, trustworthy people, faithful people. So handing on the baton, the third leg of the race, hand on to those faithful people who will be able to, tell the others, four generations right there, Paul, Timothy, trustworthy people, others again. Four generations, the baton being handed on. Now, as we're going to be looking at on Alpha over the next few weeks, Alpha, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And my encouragement to you on Alpha is, the launch night, we've got curry, we've got music, we've got magic. Just come to the launch, bring a friend, come to the launch night. If they stay for Alpha, all the better. It's going to be super. So what we're going to be looking at on Alpha over the next few weeks, you know, as Christian people, we step into this new identity, don't we? We're loved, we're accepted, chosen by God. We experience, can receive something like the forgiveness, the grace of God, restored relationship. It's amazing. But of course, the Christian life, the Christian experience is not just for us, it's for others as well. It's for others as well. And part of following Jesus as we go on in faith, we start to realize actually there's more to it than just our experience. It's about sharing the baton, handing on the baton, sharing our faith with those around us. As Jesus says at the end of Matthew's gospel, again, a really foundational text, I think. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, some of the last words he says to his disciples. And in a sense, as he's speaking to his disciples, he's kind of speaking to all of his followers down through history. And he says, "All authority in heaven and earth, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go. Go and make disciples of all nations." A great commission, if you like. And I think, in many ways, what all Paul is doing in this letter to Timothy is he's just bringing a bit of intentionality to that. Do you know what I mean? He's bringing a bit of sharpness to it. He's saying, you know, the things you've heard me say, hand them on to others who can hand them on again. Jesus calls us to make disciples. Paul's encouraging us to be really intentional, hand on offer the baton of our faith to others who'll be able to hand it on to others again. Yeah? Making disciples, handing on the baton of faith. Something that every Christian is called to do. Now, I don't know, if you think about 2020, maybe it might be worth just taking a moment now. You think about the way what this year could look like ahead. You know, we've all got different stuff going on, haven't we? Things that are happening in the months to come. What could it look like for you this year, 2020, to hand on the baton of faith to others? You know, the opportunities are different for each of us, aren't they? What could that look like for us this year? You know, what opportunities, what's God putting in our hands? What opportunities might we have coming our way to hand the baton on? Maybe that's a thought that we could carry with us in this sermon, in this service today as we respond later. And I think in many ways, the sort of the structures at St. James, the different activities, the way we sort of shape our shared life together here, in many ways, it's just about trying to enable that to happen. You know, things like Alpha and Connect groups and other ministries that we're doing. It's about creating the space, the relational space for us to hand the baton of faith on to others. And Ed, with that in mind, you're going to help us to think a bit, aren't you, about how that becomes possible in different ways.
Yes, thank you, Jude. Now, Jude might have represented Bedfordshire at running. I played cricket for Oxfordshire under 16s. And the highlight of my year in the county squad was a trip to Guernsey for a cricket festival against five other counties. Five games in 5 days, staying at a hotel, and we lost every single game. It was pretty terrible. The key thing was, there were 14 of us, I think. I felt sorry for the coaches because, you know, they'd spent all this time coaching us over the season and we just were terrible. But we won as a team and we lost. Well, we didn't win as a team. We lost as a team. You know, it wasn't like there were two or three people who were really good. Although actually, one of the guys is now playing professional cricket. He couldn't do it on his own. You know, he's a professional cricketer, but he couldn't do it on his own. And actually, you know, the other 10 of us in the team were important as well. We probably dragged him down a little bit. But there's something, you know, there's something about what we do at St. James, about these shared spaces for us to do things together. The leaders are not here to do everything. Jesus isn't physically here on earth as the kind of like ultimate pope almost, you know, making decrees from somewhere else. No, he went back to heaven and left us with his spirit. Paul couldn't stick at every church that he founded on his missionary journeys. He stayed at some for a couple of years, but he couldn't do all of that. He had to pass his knowledge and his trust on to local people, to local leaders. He had to step back to allow people to do things. This good player in our cricket team couldn't do it on his own. He needed other people around him to try and make the team work together. I just want to mention two things, I think, at St. James that we're doing that kind of help us with this. Although, to be honest, a lot of the stuff that we do as a family helps us to try and make disciples. Obviously, we're starting Alpha in a week and a bit's time. And Ollie is a great example of what we think we're trying to do. You know, Ollie came, participated in Alpha for a few weeks, for a term. And now he's going to be coming back. He's inviting his friend back, helping run a table, helping the discussions happen. We've not got, you know, three or four staff members on each table making sure exactly the right thing is said at exactly the right time to exactly the right people. No, there's space for everyone to come to participate and to share what they know about God and to encourage others on the journey towards him. And Alpha is a great way to make new disciples, invite people in who don't know much about God, who are perhaps these others in the end of 2 Timothy 2 who might not have heard anything before, but who are told things by trustworthy people that brings them closer to God. Our Connect groups as well, you know, students and they're on their Monday nights together or a Wednesday as well. The families as they meet in their group every other week or so. And our Connect groups that meet during the week. These are places where we can help make disciples out of current Christians. There's been loads of exciting things happening over the last sort of 6 to 12 months in our Connect groups. We've got more Connect groups than ever before. There's some students, particularly kind of second and third years, who are moving into Connect groups and who are meeting regularly with older people who might only be 3 or 4 years older, but that 3 or 4 years down the discipleship track, yeah, Alwyn's going, yeah, 3 or 4 years older, yeah, that's me, yeah. But, you know, even just that little bit further on the track of following Jesus, I know from conversation with students, it's really helpful having others around them. You know, you might think that, you know, you've been in your first job a couple of years and you're still learning so much about God. Well, you might be, but you know what? You were 2 or 3 years ahead of someone else who hasn't got to your stage yet, who can learn so much about what it means to share God in the workplace, what it means to do the 9-to-5 grind and then try to do church. I've been really encouraged by Kirsty and Andrew's group and Andres and Naomi's group. There's been, you know, babies have been born. And other people in the groups are stepping up to help lead the Bible studies, to help host the place, to help teach others and make disciples in that group still. The groups aren't stopping just because, you know, there's new babies that have been born. They're carrying on. In fact, probably more healthy than before because other people are also stepping in. It's really exciting to see. I remember just before Christmas, looking at the back of church, after church, and there was a student having a conversation with someone who was one of the more mature members of the congregation. And I could tell they were having a really good conversation. You know, they were there 15 minutes or so. I didn't know what was going on, but I could tell they're having a good chat. And I know they're in the same Connect group. The way they know each other, the way they met particularly, was through that. And you could tell there was some discipleship happening. They were, you know, they were making disciples of each other in that conversation because they were doing that in the week as well. And there's loads of other things we could talk about. We could talk about minis on a Thursday morning, how the, you know, the parents are coming in and meeting a bit more of God as they do the minis extra and they read the Bible together after the time of play. We could talk about the band and how Matt lets others step into leadership. The point is that what we're trying to do is try and give you ways to make disciples in the regular rhythm of church life. Make disciples of new people who may not have heard much more about Jesus before, or just of each other, and growing together as God's people. On Friday afternoon, I spent a lovely hour with Jake and Sophia because I'd borrowed a Lego model from my dad. This sounds sad, but trust me, it's not. Wow. It's Tower Bridge, which is one of the bigger ones. He got it 4 or 5 years ago. I borrowed it from him at Christmas. And I said, oh, Jake and Sophia, why don't you come round? We'll do some of the Lego together. Now, I reckon within about the hour we had together, we probably did maybe 10 stages of this model. Could I have done more stages if I'd just been on my own, like head down doing it? Probably. Let's be honest. Probably, yeah. Would it have been as fun? No, it wouldn't. And now that I've done a bit more, can I tell which bit I did on my own and which bit Jake and Sophia did with me? No, not really. They were great at, they've got smaller fingers, so they were great at finding the really tiny roof pieces that I needed to find in the big box of Lego. They weren't so good at translating the picture into like what they had to build and then and how it matched together, but I could help them with that. Working together, we couldn't really tell what was mine and what was theirs. And it just got me thinking about, actually, there's a picture here of what we do with each other, how we make disciples of each other, even just through normal conversations, even just going for a coffee. You know, parents, even just reading that 5-minute bedtime story from the Bible with your children at bedtime. You know, those small things are making disciples of each other. Matthew 28, which Jude alluded to, where Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. The key point is Jesus doesn't say, hang around a bit and you might make some disciples. He says, no, go and make disciples. It's really active. 2 Timothy 2, Paul says, look, I gave this to you. You've now got to give it to others. So we're going to give it to others. It's active again. It's not write something on a scroll, leave it hanging around and hope someone picks it up. It's no, give it to them, entrust it to them, pass it on to them. The call of God's kingdom is to be active and intentional about how we do this rather than just kind of thinking it'll happen naturally. Because the reality is actually life kind of crowds in quite easily. So Jesus said, you know, how might you be making disciples in 2020? I want to ask you, how are you going to do it like intentionally? How are you going to think about doing it? How are you going to make space to do it? It might mean you might need to drop some other things. It might mean you need to be thinking really carefully about what you do in your week. There's a time in this season for everything. I'm not saying you've all got to spend 7 days a week at church or else you're a bad Christian. That's not what I'm saying. Other things are really good. But what are you making space for, and how are you making space to make disciples of other people? Are you plugged into the Connect groups? Are you going to student group? Are you coming to Families Connect? I've been having a conversation with a friend over the last few months, and this friend is thinking of stepping back from work a little bit and dropping down to part-time work rather than full-time work. Now, not everyone can do that. You know, that's not a choice necessarily everyone can make. But the reason this person is doing it is for a number of reasons, but part of it is, you know, family, and part of it is just trying to make space for some other things that are more important in life. Again, that might not be something you can do, but that person is trying to be intentional about the way they live their life and thinking through the choices that they're making. So I really want to encourage you. This year is going to be such a great year for St. James. There's loads of really good things happening. Are you going to step into what might be possible this year? And what could you choose to do that could really help make disciples of other people around you, but also will help others to make you a better disciple of Jesus, to follow him more closely? Will you give that space this year, or will you let life kind of crowd in and demand what you want instead? Again, something to think about for the rest of the service. I think G's going to finish off now, another few minutes or so.
Thank you, Red. And thank you for looking after the kids on Friday. I mean, any time you want to do that, that's a, really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you. So this year, I want to encourage us all to sort of, embrace this call to make disciples, to hand on the baton for each one of us. May that be something that we're talking to one another about, encouraging one another into whatever shape that's going to take. Now, in a sense, we can hand the baton on to anybody. You know, young people can hand it on to older people. There's no barriers to how we're able to hand on the baton of faith. But this year, for 2020, I think there's something about our intentionality of handing the baton on to the next generation, whatever we mean by that. Probably children and teenagers and students, younger adults perhaps, how we hand it on to those who come after us, the next generation. And to help us think about this, we're going to have a little look at a graph. Is that a little graph that can come up on the screen? Apologies if you can't read this. Any, can you read it at the back there? Tim, can you read that? No, sorry. Sorry, we do try. So what we've got here is we've got a graph of church attendance by age group. So the proportion of people who are in church, whatever expressions of church we're talking about, for the different age ranges. So at the bottom, it's 0 to 10. So 1.5%. of 0 to 10-year-olds are engaged in church regularly. Then 11 to 17, 1%. Going down, 11 to 17, 1% of 11 to 17-year-olds are in church, engaged in church. And then the lowest of the lot, 18 to 24, 0.6% are engaged in church. I think this is an Anglican view of the world, but in terms of the trend, I think it's pretty typical of churches in the UK. 0.6%, the lowest, the poorest represented age group involved in church, 0.6%, 18 to 24. 25 to 45 goes back up to 1%, 46 to 65, 2%, and then the big hitters, sort of, 66 to 75, 66 to 75, 4.2% in church. If you're 76 to 85, there's a 4.9, let's call it 5% are in an Anglican church in the UK. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a good number, but kind of a shame that it's right up there. And then if you're older than 86, if you're 86 years old or older, 3.5% to 4% chance you're in an Anglican church. And I think this is really, I find this a really sad graph to look at. I don't know about you, what your instinct, but I find this a really sad graph to look at. Why do I think it's sad because the numbers are so small. Right, it's sad because the numbers are small, but it's particularly sad because the younger generations are so poorly represented. That's for me. That's if anything, that's why it's so sad. And what stats tell us that something like from the end of the Second World War till about 2010 or something, the church in the UK was declining at about 1% a year. Okay, it's declining about 1% a year, and this graph kind of tells you the main reason why that's happening. The main reason why that's happening is that the baton of faith is not being passed on, hasn't been passed on effectively from the older generations to the younger generations. And guess what happens? The older generations, eventually they die. And then the next generation after that is not as well represented as the older generation. Yeah? So it gives us a little snapshot, a little insight into the decline in church involvement, the decline in the numbers of Christians in our nation. The baton of faith is not being passed on effectively from generation to generation. It's a sad graph. You know, and you know, as far as the point about our students, the worst, the lowest represented, 0.6% of 18 to 24-year-olds in church, something like 70% of teenagers who are involved in church, the Christians, you know, the ones who are regularly going to church, they get to university, 70% of them stop going to church when they hit university. So sad. You know, which is part of the reason why St. James was asked when we launched St. James and started a church here 10 years or more ago, to really to connect with students in the city, because it's a missing generation. No one else is connecting with them. But we've got a massive challenge in these lower age brackets. We haven't passed the baton on well. And I, you know, if you sort of allow yourself to just sort of look behind the numbers, you know, to you know, the lives that are represented there. You know, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the nations are like raging seas, pulled around by the sort of forces in the world that are opposed to God. You know, it's just so sad that generation after generation, more and more people are living without that relationship with Jesus, that life-changing relationship, just getting pulled around by the forces in the world. It's just so sad that that reality has been happening. And I don't know about you, but I long to see this graph turn round. Anybody else want to see this graph turn round? I want to see this graph turn round. Yes, Sean, we want to see this graph turn round, don't we? Yes. Come on, I want to see the spike, the peaks in the 11 to 17-year-old range. I want to see the peak in the 18 to 24-year age bracket. Do you know what I mean? I want to see those being the generations that are best represented in church. Because that's not just good news for today. That's good news for the next 20, 30, 50, do you know what I mean? Right through. You know, the seeds that we sow into those generations today last a lifetime. A young person makes a decision to follow Jesus. As you know, some of the kids, for example, at St. Hilda's, where we've begun to do some work, started meeting on Mondays to pray for each other. You know, lives are being changed. When they make a decision to follow Jesus, when they take that step deeper into the Christian life, you're talking about the whole trajectory of life changing. Everything changing. It's amazing. Who wouldn't want to be part of that? That's so exciting. And if you're a regular here at St. James, and if over the years you've given money to St. James, if you've cooked on a Monday night for our students, if you've been a student mentor, if you've hosted students for lunch, if you've just welcomed or befriended a student coming in, then you're playing a part in the slow reversal, we hope, under God, of some of these numbers, people's lives being changed. That's where we want to see the investment. And next week we're going to do loads of detail. Today is really just sort of big picture, you know, following Jesus, helping others to follow Jesus, passing on the baton, this invitation we're all invited into. Next week we're going to look in a lot of detail at kind of how that maps out here at St. James. It's mapping out in all sorts of ways in different churches across the city. And, you know, there's lots of exciting stuff going on. For us here at St. James, there's particular things which are coming, which I think God is calling us into this year. One of the great things is that the diocese are wanting to invest. They're seeing the sort of life that's happening here. They're seeing some of the things that are going on. The diocese is saying, we want to get behind this. We want to really invest in St. James is taking some of their ministry more into secondary schools, doing more with students. And so, we've talked about it before, but we're hoping and praying there's going to be this grant funding where the diocese are investing in the next generation. Part of that's going to come to St. James. We're really excited about that. What shape does that take? What does that mean? How can we all participate in that? How can we sort of find our place in this developing vision? And I think part of this is about, I guess, you know, the sort of spiritual optimist in me. You know, I want to believe that in this city, you know, the church landscape in the city has changed so much over the last 10 years. And I want to believe that God is, you know, some of those old spiritual sort of inroads, some of those those tracks perhaps that have been a bit neglected, you know, route into schools in our city. So many Christian schools in our city, those sort of missional routes into our schools, into our universities. You know, I want to believe that in this next generation, we're going to see things come to life there in the most dramatic ways. That's what we're investing in this year. That's what we're, the leadership team in the wider sense at St. James, I feel God's calling us into in the year ahead. It's really exciting where God is going to take us. So, lots of detail to come next week. Do be praying, asking yourself that question. What does it look like to hand the baton on this year? Now, I wanted to give out a few batons today to sort of symbolize, you know, this sense of calling. I've only got one or two. Laura, can you take one of these? You take one of those. Jenny, you take one of those as well. Yeah, that's great. And Sam, have one of these fellas here. Charlie, take one of those too. Just watch that one. There's a few marks on it. I think Jake and Sophia, one of them used that before I finished it off, before I got it. So sorry if it's a bit smelly or something. Sorry. But have a baton. For the rest of us, Ed, would you mind giving these out? Be great. Here we go. There's no marks on it. It's a joke. There's definitely no marks on it. thank you, Ed. We're going to hand these out. Take one of these. Take it home. Stick it on your fridge. Put it in your Bible. Put it on your desk. Put it somewhere you're going to see it. It's going to remind you over these next few weeks, maybe months, to hand on the baton. God's call, God's invitation to us to hand the baton of our faith on. It's an invitation for everyone to hand the baton of our faith on. Band, if you guys would like to come up, that'd be great. Thank you. The band are going to come up. Ed's going to come up in a minute as well, and he's going to start setting up for communion too. But I wanted to give us a chance. I wanted to give us a chance to respond to this for ourselves. This invitation to hand the baton on. And what we're going to do, if it's okay with you, and hopefully this is going to be helpful for some of us today. I want to believe that what we're going to do right now could be really helpful for some of us for the rest of this year, as this year plays out. But this is an opportunity, really, to recommit ourselves, to do a bit of business with God, and to recommit ourselves to handing on the baton of our faith. So what we're going to do is I'm going to lead us in a little bit of prayer and stuff. But I just want to say, if at any point over these next few minutes, you just get a sense of, this is for me. This is this year. I want to be someone who hands the baton on well. Then I'd love you to stand. And hopefully, as we sort of get to the end of this time of commitment, maybe we're most standing. Maybe all of us are standing. And I'd love to pray a prayer of commitment over us. Is that okay? So maybe just bring some things to mind. How is this landing for you? You know, this as we look to the year ahead. I think there's some of us here today who just... the busyness of life, just stops us from really thinking through what this could look like. And we're just so full of stuff. The pressures of life just pull us around all over the place. That the very idea of making space to intentionally hand the baton on, you know, might just feel a bit overwhelming. And I think if that's you this evening, then I think there's an opportunity just to stand before God and say, Lord, I want to take a step back. I want to order things a bit differently. I want to be a bit more intentional. I don't want to miss this call to hand the baton on. And so if that's you, I'd love you just to stand. If you're wanting to respond, if you're wanting to say, Lord, I want to do something different, then you've got the opportunity now just to mark that with God. If busyness is a thing. I think for some of us, the fear is in there. You know, inviting someone's alpha, sharing our faith, maybe stepping up into that role to lead a group or to join in with the leadership of something, calling others into something. Maybe that just feels a bit intimidating. And again, if that's you, you know, I think God's wanting to say, perfect love drives out fear. His invitation, you know, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. His invitation is for you. You can do this with him. He's wanting to give you that confidence afresh. And if that's you, I'd love you to stand. Just say, Lord, I'm freaked out by this, but with you, maybe I could do this. Just stand. I encourage you to stand. I think there's some of us who are really excited about this vision. I think there's some of us who are already working in schools and doing stuff with our students and young people, helping in our kids' work on a Sunday. I think you've got the vision. I think today might be a day where you just say to Lord, Lord, I want to, whatever that next step is this year, I want to take it. I want to take it with you with confidence. Maybe now's a moment to mark that. And again, if that's you, I'd love you to stand. Just, you know, stand with freedom. And for the rest of us, if there's any sense in which we just know we need God's help, we want to ask for God's help, then again, feel free to stand. Make that marker. Do that business with God. Lord, I need you. I know there's something good here. I want this. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me to hand the baton of my faith onto others. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a commissioning prayer from the Church of England. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then there's a very short response at the end for those of us who want to make that response. Here's the prayer. Well, it starts. Brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all baptized by the one Spirit into one body, and we're all called by Jesus to make disciples of all nations. So let us pray. Blessed are you, gracious God, our Creator and Redeemer. We recognize that in every age, you call people to make disciples of Jesus. And so may the work of your servants here and those who you'll add to our number so build up your church that the baton of faith will be passed from generation to generation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And the answer to this is, we will, if you agree. Will you, the people of St. James, hand on the baton of faith in this year, next year, and the years to come? The answer is, we will, if you agree with that. We will. We will. We're going to take communion together. And again, my encouragement to you as we do that is maybe just be open to doing that business with God. There's an invitation. It's an invitation to hand the baton on. But we can't do it out of our own strength. We can only do it through God's work within us. So as we come and we take of bread and wine, let's be asking God, Lord, fill me. Strengthen me, empower me for this work. Should we do that? Let's receive what God has for us.